Welcome back to the Crypto Daily, where we delve into the ever-evolving world of digital assets. Today, we're dissecting Ethereum's volatile journey, from NFT highs to DeFi's promise.
Indeed, it's been quite a ride for ETH. While Bitcoin's price growth was fueled by institutional interest like Coinbase's IPO, Ethereum's surge was driven by technological advancements, the Berlin update, and the buzz around NFTs.
Right, that digital art piece sold for over 38,000 ETH. A whopping $69 million really put Ethereum on the map. But then came the FTX collapse, a gut punch to the entire crypto space.
Absolutely. And while ETH has recovered somewhat, it's still significantly down from its 2021 highs. The question now is, can DeFi breathe new life into Ethereum?
That's the billion-dollar question. Unlike Bitcoin, Ethereum isn't just a currency, it's a platform for blockchain applications. If DeFi takes off, Ethereum, as its facilitator, stands to benefit immensely.
Precisely. The growth of platforms like Uniswap, MakerDAO, and Compound is intrinsically linked to Ethereum's success. It's a symbiotic relationship. However, regulatory hurdles and the inherent volatility of DeFi remain challenges.
So Bitcoin is rallying, and it seems like the upcoming US election is playing a significant role. What's your take on this so-called Trump trade?
Well, it's interesting to see how market sentiment shifts based on political predictions. A potential Trump victory is being interpreted as bullish for Bitcoin, likely due to his perceived stance on crypto and the expectation of inflationary policies.
It's almost as if Bitcoin is becoming a hedge against traditional market uncertainty, especially with gold also hitting record highs amidst geopolitical tensions and election jitters.
Exactly. Investors are looking for assets that might hold value if traditional markets become volatile. And let's not forget the potential impact of a Republican sweep on crypto regulation. A unified government could streamline the legislative process for better or worse.
Speaking of the election and crypto, we're seeing some interesting developments with PACs and endorsements. What are your thoughts on the Bitcoin voter PAC supporting Ted Cruz, especially with Texas being a hub for mining?
It's fascinating to see crypto mining interests directly engaging in the political process. Cruz has been outspoken about Bitcoin and mining's role in grid stability, so this alignment makes sense. It also highlights the growing influence of the crypto industry and its desire to back candidates who understand its potential.
It's a strategic move, considering Texas's significant role in the crypto mining landscape. But what about Colin Allred? He's considered pro-crypto, but hasn't received the same level of support. Does this signal a missed opportunity for Democrats to engage with this growing voter base?
Potentially. While the TBC acknowledges Allred's stance, they seem to view Cruz as a more reliable advocate for their specific interests. This underscores the importance of clear, consistent messaging from candidates on crypto policy. Voters, especially in a tech-savvy state like Texas, are paying attention to these nuances.
So, the Minneapolis Fed published a paper arguing that Bitcoin needs to be taxed or banned for governments to maintain deficits. It's quite the claim, calling Bitcoin a balanced budget trap. What are your thoughts on this, especially considering the US's massive national debt?
It's a provocative stance, and honestly, a bit baffling, considering the Fed's own role in inflationary monetary policies. The paper seems to ignore the fundamental flaws of fiat currencies and the reasons why Bitcoin was created in the first place. The idea that governments need to maintain deficits indefinitely is also debatable. This feels more like an attack on Bitcoin's decentralized nature than a genuine economic analysis. It's also ironic considering a 1996 Minneapolis Fed paper actually praised the very characteristics of Bitcoin years before it even existed.
Right. The money is memory paper. It's fascinating how perspectives can shift so dramatically within the same institution. It seems like some within the traditional financial system are feeling threatened by Bitcoin's growing adoption and potential to disrupt the status quo.
Absolutely. The paper even goes as far as echoing the ECB's calls to curb or eliminate Bitcoin. This fear-driven approach highlights a lack of understanding about the technology and its potential benefits. Instead of trying to stifle innovation, perhaps central banks should focus on adapting to the changing financial landscape. Trying to ban or overtax Bitcoin will likely only fuel its appeal as a censorship-resistant alternative.
This brings us to our next topic, the overwhelming number of passwords and IDs we need to navigate modern life. A recent article highlighted the very real risks associated with this, citing the Quadriga CX case where millions were lost because the exchange's founder died with the only passwords. It's a chilling example of the fragility of our current systems.
It's a cautionary tale for sure, but also speaks to the larger issue of centralized control. While the founder's death was tragic, the fact that he held sole access to those funds highlights a single point of failure that blockchain technology was designed to prevent. This case underscores the need for robust multi-sig solutions, especially when dealing with large sums of cryptocurrency.
Absolutely. The article also touched on the irony of India's telecom regulatory chairman exposing his own Aadhaar ID to prove its security, only to have his personal information quickly compromised. It seems we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, needing complex passwords for security, but struggling to manage them effectively.
Exactly. It's a classic security dilemma. The article suggests some potential solutions, like password managers and single sign-on systems, but even those have limitations. We need a more fundamental shift towards decentralized identity solutions where individuals have more control over their data and can choose how and when it's shared.
Decentralized identity is a fascinating concept. It'll be interesting to see how that technology develops and if it can provide a more secure and user-friendly alternative to our current password-laden existence. So, this story about AI doctoring a woman's photo to make her appear more provocative is disturbing, but sadly not surprising. It speaks to the inherent biases in AI datasets, particularly when it comes to the portrayal of women.
Absolutely. This incident perfectly illustrates how existing biases embedded in training data can manifest in AI applications. It's a stark reminder that we need more diversity, not just in terms of who develops AI, but also in the data used to train these systems.
And this ties into the article's focus on Africa. Right? The author seems to be arguing that promoting women in AI, particularly in Africa, is crucial to addressing these biases.
Exactly. Africa's tech scene is booming, and they're tackling challenges in unique and innovative ways. By highlighting the achievements of women in AI and Web3 on the continent, we not only empower them, but also bring fresh perspectives to the global AI landscape. This diversity of thought is essential for creating more inclusive and ethical AI.
The article mentions initiatives like Data Science Nigeria and Deep Learning Indaba. It sounds like there's a real push to cultivate AI talent in Africa.
There's a huge opportunity here. Africa has a young, tech-savvy population eager to learn and contribute. By investing in education and infrastructure, we can unlock this potential and position Africa as a leader in ethical and inclusive AI development.
So Vitalik Buterin is sounding the alarm bells on Ethereum's centralization risks. He seems particularly concerned about staking and block production.
Yes, and rightfully so. These are critical issues that could undermine Ethereum's decentralization ethos. The fact that two entities are building nearly 90% of blocks is a red flag. It creates a single point of failure and opens the door to censorship and manipulation.
It seems counterintuitive that a decentralized system like Ethereum could become centralized.
It's a constant balancing act. As Ethereum scales, it faces economic pressures that can lead to centralization. Larger staking pools offer better returns, attracting more participants and further consolidating their influence. Similarly, block production becomes more efficient at scale, but it also concentrates power in the hands of a few.
Buterin has proposed several solutions, like capping stake amounts and limiting penalties. What do you make of those?
They're a step in the right direction, but it's a complex issue with no easy fixes. Capping stake amounts could disincentivize participation, while limiting penalties might compromise security. The key is to find a balance that preserves decentralization without stifling growth.
It sounds like Ethereum is at a crossroads. Its success hinges on addressing these centralization concerns.
Absolutely. The next few years will be crucial for Ethereum's future. The community needs to carefully consider these trade-offs and implement solutions that prioritize decentralization and security above all else.
Speaking of legal battles, Chainalysis, the blockchain analytics firm, is facing a hefty defamation lawsuit.
Oh, that's right, the Yield Nodes case. A $650 million lawsuit is nothing to sneeze at. It'll be interesting to see how Chainalysis defends its investment scam label in court.
It highlights the tension between identifying risky projects and potentially causing reputational harm. And speaking of regulations, the EU is tightening the reins with its MiCA regulations.
Yes, ESMA is pushing for even stricter AML compliance and oversight of crypto asset service providers. It's a clear signal that regulators are getting serious about addressing the risks associated with crypto.
And we're seeing the ripple effects globally. Cyprus and Ireland are scrambling to align their regulatory frameworks, while the UAE is positioning itself as a DAO hub. It's a dynamic landscape, with governments trying to find the right balance between fostering innovation and protecting investors.
Absolutely. And let's not forget Italy's decision to hike its capital gains tax on Bitcoin to a whopping 42%. That's a bold move that could have a chilling effect on crypto investment there.
It seems governments are still figuring out how to approach crypto taxation. It's a complex issue with far-reaching implications. We'll continue to track these developments closely. Speaking of global crypto hubs, Binance is doubling down on Dubai's burgeoning scene with its Blockchain Week event.
Yes, it's a smart move. Dubai is aggressively positioning itself as a crypto-friendly environment, attracting both startups and established players.
And with speakers like the CEO of Dubai Future Foundation and the head of Google's financial services, it's clear they're aiming for a high-profile event.
Absolutely. This lineup signals that Binance is serious about engaging with regulators and showcasing the potential of blockchain technology.
The theme momentum is also telling. They're highlighting the industry's growth despite recent challenges and regulatory hurdles.
It's a strategic message, especially with Circle's CEO, Jeremy Allaire, discussing the future of digital currency and financial inclusion.
This event could be a significant step in shaping the narrative around blockchain adoption in the Middle East and beyond. So it seems Glue Network is on a mission to simplify DeFi, this time by integrating Avalanche's BTC.B as its default Bitcoin representation. What are your thoughts on this move?
It's a very strategic move. By choosing a well-established and trusted wrapped Bitcoin like BTC.B, Glue removes a significant barrier of entry for many potential users. It's about making DeFi as frictionless as possible.
Exactly. And leveraging Layer Zero's OFT standard for this cross-chain integration is a smart choice. It ensures smooth and secure transfers of BTC between Avalanche and Glue. It's all about that user experience, isn't it?
Absolutely. Plus, this integration opens up a world of opportunities for Bitcoin holders to explore DeFi within the Glue ecosystem. Lending, borrowing, yield farming, it's all there, readily accessible with their BTC.B holdings.
It's a win-win for both Glue and the DeFi space as a whole. More users, more liquidity, more innovation. That's all for today's episode. Catch you in the next one.